Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hidden Hearing. Hearing problems? We've been tuning people in for over 30 years. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Afternoon, Anne. How are you?
Hi, Philip. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You have a son, a 17-year-old son with autism.
I do.
High functioning, though.
Autism. Sorry?
High functioning, though, you say?
A very high functioning, yeah.
And you thought that you had organised work experience for him?
Yeah. He had actually organised it himself. He's in fifth year and had organised it in a dog shelter, an animal shelter. He was delighted with himself and couldn't wait to start. And unfortunately, when I dropped him up yesterday, the long story short, I managed to get him in, and a few minutes later, I started to begin. What had happened was, we went up at 10 o'clock and the doors weren't open because they don't open to the public till 1. So there was a number on the gate. So I texted the number on the gate to say, look, you know, I'm here with my son. He has work experience. How do I get him in? And meanwhile, just after I'd texted the phone number, I saw somebody through a gap in the fence and I called and she came out and I explained that he was here for work experience. So he went in happy as Larry. I had a quick chat with the lovely girl there, told her I'd be back from at 2:30. Was that okay? And she said yes. I said, next week, is it okay if I drop him up for 9:30 and collect him at 2? And she said, yeah, that's perfect. So I drove off and I'm only in the car a few minutes and I get a call from the text number that I had sent the text number to. And this woman on the phone wants to find out if I had managed to actually get in. I said, yes. I said, he's in there. I said we had found somebody and she'd opened the door and that I would be back up to collect him at 2:30. And she said, well, she said, to start, our work experience is from 9 till 4 o'clock. And I said, sorry, I said, he was told 11, because that's what he was told, that he could start at 11. And she said, no, she said, absolutely no. She said, it's from 9 to 4 o'clock is what we do for work experience. So I started to try to explain it. I just said, look, he has autism. He's high functioning. And immediately she cut me off and she said, what, he's special needs? Nobody told me he's special needs. No, you need to go back and get him. And I said, what do you mean I need to go back and get him? She said, that they don't take people with special needs. They don't do work experience with children with special needs. And I said, that's ridiculous. He said, he's very high functioning. He has done 2 previous transition year work experience. He's worked in a music shop, which he independently went to.
And Anne, had this person that you were talking to actually met him during the course of his half a day's work experience?
No, he was literally just up there, you know, for a few minutes. She hadn't met him. And she just wouldn't listen to me. She wouldn't listen to the fact that, you know, he's very high functioning. He's very talented. He's very articulate. He's well able to look after himself. And it's a blanket ban that they have on people with special needs. They're not allowed to do work experience. I said, look, that's discrimination. I said, you can't do that. I said, I'm not going to accept that. I don't accept the fact that you're going to kick him out because he has autism. And she said, well, she said, this is a charity and we are not bound by those. It's not a business. We're not bound by those rules. I said, you absolutely are. Nobody can discriminate. I said, he's well capable of doing the job. I said, he loves animals. He's great with animals. And to be honest, you know, like, we were excited at the fact that he had managed to get himself work experience in the animal shelter. And it's pure discrimination.
Grace, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Philip. How are you?
You work in the animal shelter.
I'm a volunteer with the animal shelter that we're referring to. I am also on the committee. I operate the helpline. I do the rehoming for the animals.
And what happened here in the case of Anne's son?
What happened in the case of Anne's son was that we got an application for work experience from him a number of months ago. He explained that he was in Leaving Cert Applied. He wanted to do work experience at our animal shelter. He gave us the dates that were suitable and we did have a placement available for those dates. So I confirmed that we would be able to take him on and I sent him a transition year policy document the first line of which states that the hours for work for our transition year students are from 9 a.m. to 4:30
okay,
p.m.
Can we leave the issue of the hours aside, because that's maybe just a simple enough misunderstanding? But is it the case, as Anne claims, that he was effectively discriminated against because he has special needs?
No, not at all. If I could just clarify, first of all, the conversation as described didn't actually take place, but I'm not prepared to debate that issue on air, as the woman was very rude at me when I tried to explain myself yesterday. She wouldn't actually
let me speak,
and she wasn't
when
prepared to listen and was shouting.
Anne, let's just wait and hear what Grace has to say, and then you can come back, okay? Thank you, Philip.
I received a text at 10 minutes past 10 yesterday saying that this lady had arrived at the gate and wanted to get in with her son, who we had been expecting from earlier that day. So I actually called her and asked her had she managed to get access, and she said that she had. So I then explained what the hours were that were required of him are. And she straight away said to me that he's autistic. So needless to remark, when it was commented to me that he was autistic, I felt that there must have been some reason why she felt it necessary to tell me this. And we don't have any such ban on any individuals with special needs. Sorry, Philip, can I continue?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Please continue.
Am I okay to continue, Philip?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm just attempting to explain to you, Philip, that we have a number of special needs individuals that attend our shelter, one of whom is wheelchair-bound, and he comes quite regularly. He's fantastic with the dogs. We also have an arrangement with a number of the... how will I describe them? There are certain groups in the area that would have sheltered houses for individuals who have special or different needs, and they attend our animal shelter.
Okay, so you do these things for other people, but was there something exceptional about Anne's son, some reason that he couldn't stay?
No, not at all. What happened there was because I couldn't have a conversation with her, I actually called the school and had a conversation with them. They put me on to some lady in the Acorn Suite, and she explained that the child in question actually has a full-time special needs assistant in the school. So I asked if they could clarify the reason why he had a special needs assistant there, and they said that it wasn't because he had any intellectual needs, but he would have some care needs. And I asked them, would they elaborate a little bit on that? And they said, well, for example, if he wasn't able to carry his school bag. So I said, but surely if he's unable to carry his school bag, he wouldn't be able to walk dogs at our shelter. So needless to remark, the issue that we have would be that we must know in advance if there is any sort of a special need or requirement, so that we can then discuss this need and possibly look at the ability for us to come to an arrangement with the school or with a student in question. However,
Anne, Grace is still talking. Just hang on a second. Go on, finish the point you're going to make, Grace.
I slightly lost my train of thought there now.
All right, well, let me interrupt you then with a question for Anne. Did you not tell them, did your son not tell them that he had special needs beforehand?
No, should he have? No, absolutely not. There's no requisite at all for him to disclose the fact that he has autism. And that's one point that I want to clarify, is I would never have described him as being autistic, because he's not autistic.
But you can see why alarm bells might be raised in somebody's mind. If he has a full-time special needs assistant in his school, they must be wondering, God, are we going to have to assign somebody full-time to shadow him?
The SNA actually isn't with him full-time. And as I said, he is very high-functioning. He has completed two previous work experiences. This lady did not want to know. She said that they do not take people with special needs on work experience. And this is what she told me. She told me that I have to go back and get him now.
Grace, is that the case?
And I do want to actually ask Grace to mind what she says, because I don't want her to libel herself.
And I don't think there's any need to escalate that in that direction just yet. Let's just try and sort out the facts. Let's just try and sort out the facts first, will we?
For his privacy, I want her to be very careful about what she discloses on air about his.
And Grace has agreed to come on in response to you calling us. So the issues of your son's privacy are ones that you have actually put out there. So let's not caution Grace on those things just yet. But Grace, let's go back to why it is that you felt unable to accommodate Anne's son. What was the reason at the end of the day?
The reason was that the volunteers who work at our shelter are all civilian volunteers, none of whom would have any sort of special training in dealing with individuals who would have different or special needs. Our duty of care is to our animals and our volunteers. And obviously, on a health and safety issue, we can't take any chances in that something might actually go wrong or something might happen. So, as I'm sure you're aware, Philip, the autistic spectrum is quite broad. And take, for example, if there was an individual who, for example, had maybe sensitivity to sound, if some of the dogs started to bark loudly, and this upset an individual, they might drop the lead. The dog could run off and possibly fight with another dog.
Did you make any of those inquiries from her son or from the SNA? Because, I mean, obviously, look, if he was able to call you, set up the work experience himself.
He's very high-functioning, Philip. He's very,
you finished
very
my sentence for me, Anne. Grace?
Yeah.
Sorry.
She didn't even give him a chance, Philip. Not one chance. He would have excelled up there. They have lost out on a fantastic young man who would have absolutely brought something lovely to that shelter. He absolutely would have. And I am devastated that to be told your son can't come here because he has special needs. And, you know, on one hand, Grace is saying, oh, but we have these groups that come in. But on the other hand, she's saying, well, actually, no, we can't have people in with special needs because they might have a sensitivity to something, or they might do this or they might do that. They did not give him a chance, and that is not fair. He needs to, you know, how is he supposed to go out the next time and get his work experience and wonder, oh, am I going to be discriminated because I have autism? He didn't want to disclose the fact that he had autism because he is worried that people are going to misjudge him because of something that he has, that he can't control, the fact that he has autism. You know, but as I said, he's very high functioning. He's very talented. He's great at music. He absolutely loves animals. And Grace did not give him a chance. And that lovely woman up there, that your lovely young girl that took him in that morning, I'm telling you, she would have had a great time with him. She absolutely would have.
Grace, did you give her son enough time to explain himself?
Well, Philip, I wasn't actually allowed to continue with my answer that you asked, for the question you asked me previously. What I did want to actually say to you was that the young girl in question and the other two volunteers who were on duty at our shelter yesterday morning are actually animal care students themselves. So we couldn't have a situation where they were given the responsibility of having to take this child under their wing without any proper training in how to assess or deal with a situation that might arise.
But what about the fact that the school offered to send somebody up with him for a couple of hours every week and you still said no? He doesn't need anybody with him, but the school were prepared to release one of the SNAs to go in with him, and you said no.
Philip, I've already made it clear that I can't debate with the lady online.
But seriously, how can you explain that? Stop going back to Philip. Answer me. Why would you not let the SNA up with him?
She is asking the question I'm going to ask you, Grace.
We contacted the school. We discussed it with the coordinator for the work experience, and he did say to us that on hindsight the school should have contacted us in advance to discuss this issue with us,
and they would have sent somebody.
At that stage, unfortunately, the decision had been made that we didn't want to pursue the issue.
Yes.
Because we had students at the shelter trying to operate the shelter themselves. So
he would have done great work. Amazing work.
Philip, yeah, but should you have taken on the work experience student in the first place, regardless of whether they had special needs or not, if the place was only being manned by students themselves?
But these students are over 18. One of them is actually a core volunteer at the shelter. So she is able to work the shelter and work with students herself, but not with students who may have any special needs or special requirements.
I wonder, ladies, would you both consider that what happened here was that there was a failure to communicate and to put everybody's minds at ease at the beginning of this, and that you could very well, in yours and your son's interests, Anne, do that now if everybody just sat down and explained exactly what Stephen's abilities and limitations are?
Yeah. To be honest, Philip, I wouldn't actually send him up there. And it's awful because, as I said, the young girl that was up there yesterday morning was lovely, and I had a lovely little conversation with her. We're going to work on him getting himself different work experience because he's well capable. To be honest, the reason why I contacted Live, I'm just going to move on with our lives and acknowledge the fact that there is always going to be discrimination. I just wanted to bring it out to the public that this isn't good enough. You know, there's other shelters that do take people on with special needs. I do know that if my son had put autism in on his form, she wouldn't have accepted it. He wouldn't have got the placement. And that is sad because he's a fantastic young man.
I'm sure he is. It's a difficult balancing act for the rest of us, though, isn't it? That on the one hand, we apply a label to somebody and that has all sorts of connotations and you think that, oh God, I don't want to go there. And that is an effort that we should all be making to overcome. But on the other hand, there is an increased onus or a burden on you to explain to people why, my son may have this label, but here's why it isn't an issue, rather than saying nothing.
Yeah, well, Grace did tell me that they don't take people with special... That's what she told me. Oh, we can't have them there. You need to get them out now. We can't take people with autism. This is what she told me.
Philip, could I speak?
And the thing is that there's a lot more... There's so much awareness out there. You know, they have supermarkets with autism hours where people can bring their kids, and there's so many different seminars and everything else to bring autism awareness out there. There obviously needs to be more.
Grace?
Philip, yes. Hi, Philip. Thank you. First of all, I just want to clarify that it was never said that we don't take individuals special needs.
Yes, you did.
I didn't interrupt. I didn't interrupt when that lady was speaking.
I know, but I didn't lie.
Are you saying that I did?
Well, you told me on the phone yesterday, which is why I got so irate, was that you don't take people with special needs.
We're not going to resolve this particular one, so that's why I'm going to move you on from it. Okay. Grace, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to say that, first of all, it was that lady is saying that her son doesn't want it known that he's autistic. She was the one who made it known that he's autistic. And secondly, as I said previously, had we been informed in advance, we could have discussed this issue with the school and looked at the possibility of coming to an arrangement. But we haven't been informed in advance, and this came up very much on the spur of the moment. There was a load of factors mitigated against this issue being resolved yesterday. One being the fact that they presented so late at the shelter for work experience.
He was told 11
at 9 a.m.
We're going over Grace, hang on a second. We're going over ground that we've already worn over, trod over. Just let me bring in Father Martin Keogh here. Father Martin, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Philip. I was just listening to the conversation. Now, I think some of your own points, the fact that obviously high emotions will be running high, and you can understand the feelings of a mother, and you can understand, you know, but I tell you what, the reason why I'm bringing it, because I would have involvement with schools, you know, and when it comes to issues like this, I think it's just that there'd be an onus of responsibility for health and safety reasons for, you know, disclose any medical issues.
It's not a medical issue.
It's not so much that it's you're working against them, but that you try to facilitate people who need, if they have any particular need. And I think most charities, I mean, I would think that they would do that, but we say
I think most places probably would take them on board, absolutely. But unfortunately, in Grace's case, she told me they do not take people with autism.
We're not going back there again, Anne. Yeah. Father Martin.
The only thing I would say to you is that, as I said, I can understand the feelings because I have a family member myself who, again, I would regard it with slight problems, and I understand the discrimination and the feelings of family and that. But it's just that I suppose it is necessary. I would think it's necessary, particularly if there's a school involved in any shape or form, that, you see, if there are any issues that we say of care and concern, even insurance,
that they should have been declared in advance.
And if anything happened to the young man, right? If anything happened to him, or if he
wouldn't be fair on him, and it wouldn't be fair on the student who was looking after him.
Well, it's just as I said, I do understand. As I said, let's be honest, we're dealing with human beings and feelings and emotions. But I think what you said there a minute ago, like, it's just a misunderstanding. People just could get together for the uncle's own, for the boy's own sake.
Anne, I can completely understand why you don't want your son labelled.
Yeah.
But can you understand why everybody might expect a slightly fuller disclosure?
Look, from my point of view, Philip, he got the work experience himself. He didn't want to disclose the fact that he is on the spectrum. He doesn't need to disclose the fact. He did two previous work experience. And unfortunately, my slip of
Did it mitigate against him in those two other work experiences where he had been honest and straightforward and straight
not
on about
at all.
It?
Absolutely.
Well, then
why
not do the same thing again?
Because, do you know what? He's 17. He wants to move on from that. He doesn't want to be on the spectrum. He doesn't want to have autism.
Oh, I can understand
he's
that.
He's a normal 17-year-old teenager. He loves music. He plays guitar. You know, he has his friends. He doesn't want to be the one that's
I know. He wants to be
needs.
John or Sean or whoever. He doesn't want to be the autistic lad. No, I can completely understand that.
Yeah.
Grace, can you sympathise with where Anne's coming from at all?
I can sympathise from where she's coming from because I myself have a family member who is also autistic. So I just feel that had full disclosure been given, we possibly could have come
to an arrangement
here.
I honestly don't believe that, though. Honestly don't believe that because you told me on the phone, I know you're saying you never said that, but you did, and when I said that it's discrimination, and you told me that you're a charity, you're not bound by those rules. You're not a
no. Unfortunately, that was never said, Philip.
Well, that is what
said. It was never said.
Here we go again.
Yes,
and you know what? It's all a little bit too soon and a little bit too close
raw.
To yesterday when all of this happened. A bit too raw to try and legislate for it now. So, ladies, we'll leave it there, and we'll. Agree to have slightly different point of views and different sympathies for the moment. But thank you very much for your call, Anne.
Thanks for covering it, Philip. I really appreciate
all right.
It. Really important.
And thank you to Father Martin for calling in.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Back to autism and Anne's son and whether she should or he should have made a declaration or whether it was needed at all and the people in the animal shelter should just have accepted him as he was for his work experience. Carl, good afternoon. What did you want to say?
I was pulling my hair out, Philip. That young man had every right to decide whether he should declare or not declare. Purely on the basis of discrimination. And I do believe that he was discriminated against. If this young man was able to kind of organise and that whole thing by himself, then there was absolutely no reason or no need for anybody else to be there. And animals would be a fantastic help to him in terms of his kind of sensory self and who the kind of unconditional love that an animal would show without having to speak or having to kind of understand language or anything like that.
Would be incredibly beneficial to him, I understand.
It would have been hugely beneficial
to him. You're talking about an ideal world situation where people like me and others, when they hear the word autism, aren't going to say, gosh, now I wonder are there going to be any issues there? What's my duty of care to this person? I need it explained to me.
First of all, it's not a mental health issue. It's an organic brain disorder. where the brain is kind of wired slightly differently, which means, therefore, people with autism essentially experience the world in a different way from you and I. So they have different sensory experiences. They have different kind of their hearing, and they can hear things very loudly.
I've only got 30 seconds left, but already you're telling me something that I didn't know. Is it my responsibility to go and find this out, or is it Anne's son's responsibility to say, look, I have this condition, but here's what you need to know and why it's not going to be a problem?
It's Anne's son's responsibility to decide what he thinks people need to know about him. He would also have his own little bag of tricks if there was a sensory issue or if there was an issue coming for him, and that he would be able to move away from. Because he would know, at the level he's working at and he's functioning at, he would know what was coming down the line, and he'd be able to move away from that.
Carl, I should have come to you an awful lot earlier, but I'm afraid we have completely run out of time. I have to take another break, but thank you very much for your call.